Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's continue our teachings. We have been speaking about the purpose of life, and along the line, we began to speak about the purpose of a walk with God as believers in Christ Jesus. That is, as Christians, that is, we know that our spirits cry out for God, and we have located him in Christ Jesus. What is the purpose of our walk with him? He said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be perfect, and then I will establish my covenant with you, and I will bless you." That is, the purpose of the walk is perfection. It's not the blessing. The blessing will come when the walk is perfect. So while we are walking with God, we have been saying again and again, is because we want to be like him. Do you get the point? We're not walking with him so that we can pay back for the days of iniquity. No, in Christ Jesus, we have received the forgiveness of sin. We have redemption. We are not paying him ahead so that he can bless us in return. No, we are not doing that. Everything we want, we receive on the basis of mercy. We receive because he loves us already. And Jesus said, anything you ask, I am not saying I will beg the Father for you. I am saying that the Father himself loves you. So don't worry about that. So we are not doing these things so that we can get from God. The main thing, the most important thing, is that we want to be like him. We want to be transformed into his very image. We read from Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus was the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And we say that's exactly what we want. We want to be like that. We want to be the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. If we are fathers, we want to be like God will be a father in the home. If we are wives, we want to be the kind of wife that God would be if he were a woman as a wife. Are you getting my point? That's what it means to be the exact representation, all right, of his nature. So that's the purpose. And we said that the quest of our hearts must be for that one thing. Jesus sat in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Martha was busy. But Mary sat down and was listening. And Jesus said, that is the right thing to do. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. It shall not be taken away from her. And that said to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What he was saying is that the way by which you take my yoke upon you is by learning. It's not by praying, but by learning. We saw that this is what he did with the disciples when he was going to choose 12. He chose 12 that they might first be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority over demons. It's not the authority that is first. It's not the ability to preach that is first, but that they might be with him. And that the first thing in anything we are doing in life, especially if we are Christians and we are going to church, is so that we might be with him. That's our purpose. We want to interact with him. Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when we want to be with him, we be with the Word of God. When we want to be with him, we don't be with activity around the building. I established last time and emphasized it that buildings are just buildings. Let's not deceive ourselves and say they are churches. They are convenient meeting places. Are you getting my point? Yes, they are convenient meeting places. That's what they are, which we have chosen to use for the gathering of the brethren. That's not what God means when he says you be with me. What when he says be with me by the word. Are you getting my point? Be with me. You see, when Adam and Eve began to disobey God, that was when they ran away from his presence when he approached. Their church meeting was in the garden. You get what I'm trying to explain? It's not a building. That's not the issue. So when we say be with him, we mean be with him by his word, imbibe his truth. And I said last time, that must be the quest of the heart of the believer. And I want to continue from that today. Let's quickly read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll read from Psalm 1. Those are the two things that will underlie the things I want to teach today. All right, the book of Isaiah chapter 55, let's quickly read that. It said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Verse 6, please. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, even though they are supposed to be. You are supposed to imbibe my thoughts, the Lord was saying. But as things are right now, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For under this situation, what I've observed is that as the heavens are higher than the earth, you understand I'm putting words in to just lay some emphasis. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And that's because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, please notice that God has ways and he has thoughts. And the kind of thoughts you have, all right, produce the kind of ways that you have. Your thinking pattern affects the way you behave. And he said that the unrighteous man is known by his thoughts. You see verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's a thinking pattern in the heart of unrighteousness that produces wickedness in the doings of a man. Are you getting my point? If a man is very selfish and very stingy, usually what the reason is because he thinks that material things are the security that he has. So he preserves everything for the security of tomorrow. But when a man, you know, I was talking about cheerful giver the other day, but when a man knows that my security is in God, are you getting my point? He is not attached to those material things. So unrighteousness is in the heart, then it produces wickedness in somebody's ways. Unrighteousness is known by the way a man thinks. Are you getting my point? So your thought pattern is what decides whether you are righteous or you are not righteous. Please bear that in mind. All right, let's quickly go down to that Psalm 1, and then we'll read that, and I continue to pass my comments. Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates or talks to himself day and night. The Bible says in verse 3, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Please notice this. This is a righteous man the Bible is talking about. It's talking about a blessed man. And if you look down, it's talking about the man being the opposite of the man who is wicked in verse 4. But let's stick with this righteous man. It's a righteous man is known by what his delight is in. Please, I want you to notice something here. He did not say that this man loves to obey the word of God, or that the man, you understand what I'm saying? That if a man doesn't do something or he does everything right. He says that this is what you notice about the man. He does not sit in certain places. He said he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And the reason is because of what he delights in. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The consequence, listen, is not because of the blessing. It's his delight. You know, David says something. I'd rather spend a day. Is a day in your court is better than, is it 1,000 years in elsewhere or something like that? And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. That is, in the midst of abundance. That's what he was saying. That is, for him, the delight. He said, I was glad. Listen to this. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. They don't serve food there. You must understand the concept, all right? It's not because they served food there. It is not because they distributed money there. But the very presence of God was what delighted him. You will notice something, that God, when he was going to choose Joshua, he didn't choose Joshua just because he loved his height. He didn't choose Joshua because he loved the way he talked. He chose Joshua because of what his delight was. The Bible says clearly that Moses will be followed by Joshua to go and meet God. Joshua will stay outside. And after Moses will have left, because of the presence of the Shekinah glory, Joshua will refuse to depart from the front of that tent. The man delighted in the presence of God, and that was why God chose him to replace Moses. Do you get my point? We're talking about delight. What does somebody love? The problem, listen to this, I want to emphasize this. The problem these days is because, and this is in Christianity, the problem is because we have turned the word of God into a method for getting something. Are you getting my point? In fact, let me use this one to illustrate it. And it's very wrong. It's very, very wrong. The word of God is not a method for getting this. People obey God because of what they are going to get. This is what I want to use to illustrate it. Once I went for a meeting. I went with my wife, a couples meeting. And they were talking about how men should behave and how women should behave. Of course, the couples meeting was focused on marriage. And amongst the questions that they had even said, I wasn't going to say anything because I just wanted to take a break from preaching and teaching the word of God. So somebody asked a question, because people had been taught, especially women, this is how you talk to your husband. This is how you do this. And when you do that, you will get this. And when you do this, you will get that. And the woman got up and asked a question. She said, what if you have done all of these things and yet you do not see the result? He said, if you are humble, if you respect your husband, and if you are submissive to him, he will love you. He will give you everything. He will hand all his money over to you. He will treat you with a lot of love according to the prescription of the scriptures. She said, what if you have done everything and the man still doesn't do it? All right? And another woman got up and spoke, and everybody began to speak. Said that, you see, what you will do, you know, I'm now adding many things to it, because this is how we would like to confuse ourselves as Christians, all right? Claiming that we are obeying the word of God. Say, what you will do is you will add thanksgiving to it. You keep on thanking God and thanking God. You understand? Some say, no. You will go at night and go and anoint his pillow and prophesy over it. That is pure witchcraft. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is. It is. Sorry. You are just manipulating people with what you think you have as spiritual power. It's pure witchcraft. Leave all of those things. You say, you go there, you go and strike his pillow with a mantle. And when he comes down, Holy Spirit won't let him rest. You are just manipulating the man. Do you get my point? You are using Christianity as your own form of witchcraft. Listen, he said, once you have done that, then cook for him. He will do this. I was hearing all kinds of things. I could not relax anymore. I told my wife, I have to talk. So I put up my hand, I was recognized. I said, this is what the problem is. The Bible says, godliness with contentment brings great gain. I said, what we are doing now is what the Bible calls godliness without contentment. I said, listen, what is godliness with contentment? It means I do godliness and that is the end of it. It's not for anything. My delight is in the doing of godliness. I respect my husband as a woman because it is right. Are you getting my point? I pray for him because it is right. If he likes, let him not respond. I will not stop doing what is right. Listen, Samuel said to Israel, God forbid that I should sin against him in not praying for you. You are a stubborn people, I know. But God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for you. That this is between me and God. I am supposed to pray for you. If you like, don't respond to him. Do you get the point I'm making? Godliness with contentment. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, people think, let me quickly read that, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. He was talking about people who cause problems, strife, abusive language, and all of those things, and constant friction between, that's verse 5 now, between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Please notice what I'm saying here. He said, people think that godliness is a means of gain. What is godliness? Godliness means to be doing things the way God said we should do them. To do things like God. To express, like we were talking about the other time, the nature of his character. Are you getting my point? To express it. So he said, people do them thinking that's the way they will get things. Like I say all the time, Christians will give because they want to get. That thing is ungodly. Please stop it if you were doing it. People say that, I need a car. Let me go and give money towards my car. That is called godliness as a means of gain. Do you follow my point? He said, respect your husband so he can love you back. That is godliness as a means of gain. If you want a car, please get on your unbelieving knees, convert it to knees of faith, and pray. You don't give because you want something. People say, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. I said, he didn't say give that it might be given to you. It's like the law of gravity. These are established laws. Give, it will be given to you. Like I say, I'm not talking about money now, but giving, when you hear the doctrine of giving and receiving, it's an encouragement for the heart that wants to give. It's not an incentive for the unbelieving heart. Godliness is not supposed to be the means of gain. Paul said, godliness actually, verse 6, is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. What is contentment? It means I have done that which is godly and I have left it there. I like to use money as an illustration. People say, give, okay, how much do you have? 5,000. Give 2,000. Then God will give you 10,000 back. That's godliness without contentment. What is godliness with contentment? I have 5,000. I needed it for something. I am going to give 2,000 and I will manage 3,000. So that if God does not return anything to me, I am not bothered. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? The word of God is not the method by which we manipulate people. So that day I spoke up. He was, what if you have done all of these things and the man has not responded? I said, listen, you are not doing it that he might respond. You are doing them because they are right. I'm emphasizing the delight in the law of the Lord. That's what we must understand as Christians. I said to you last time, there are a lot of people who are not givers. They are receivers who are using giving to meet their own selfish gains. Or their own selfish ends. That's what they are trying to do.
They have not been converted to the heart of giving. So a lot of people come manipulating them. I come today to you with a powerful anointing. As you give this money, tomorrow you will break through. And you have been giving and giving, and all you have seen is breakdown. Why? God is proving to you that godliness without contentment does not bring anything. If you are not willing to give and relax, forget it. If you are going to leave your sacrifice with the rope in your hand, then better don't bring it to the temple. That's what God was saying. Say, now I gave you something, you give me back. So I spoke to those women that day. I said, listen, ladies, we are not here to teach you how to manipulate your husband or to discuss it. No. We are not here to learn how to manipulate our wives as men. This is what you do to a woman and then she will do everything you want. That is worldliness. That is worldliness. That's not godliness. I'm talking about the delight. Believers delight in the ways of God. They learn it because that's what they desire. Do you get my point? They learn it because it is the right thing. They want to learn godliness. Psalm 1, it says, the man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. His desire or his delight is not in the results that the world produces, which is the ungodliness we Christians have brought into the word of God today. We don't delight in the word. We delight in what it produces. Are you getting my point? So when you need something, begin to praise God. Listen to me. Praise is good, whether you need something or you don't need anything. You should wake up in the morning and stand up and start waving your hands and just appreciating God for what he has done. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget any of his benefits. It's not a method of manipulating. Let me emphasize to us again. Jesus taught us the principle of prayer clearly. Whatever you want, ask. Believe you have received it, and that's the end of it. You don't manipulate God with worship. The power of God normally moves when there is worship. Begin to worship so that all your problems will go away. Oh, you worship. Let God look. This is not worship unto you. It's worship unto solution. It's not acceptable. What am I talking about? The delight in the law of the Lord. That man is blessed not because he delights in blessing. Do you get my point? He's blessed because he delights in the word. He delights in knowing God. He delights in changing his ways and upgrading to the ways of God. Are you getting my point? Like I said, when God spoke there in Isaiah chapter 55, and he said, your ways are not my ways, he wasn't saying that, listen, I'm very different from man, so leave me alone. He was saying that, no, you guys are walking below my glory. Are you getting my point? That is the ways, when he's talking about his ways, that I have a set of ways I set for you to walk in. But what you are doing now is that you are walking in a way that is inferior to the way I set for you to walk in. Listen, I just feel so strong that I should emphasize this. Blessing doesn't come to us, or blessings don't come to us as believers because we are seeking for them. Jesus said it straight. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When he said other things will be added, what he meant was not seek first the kingdom of God so that they might be added. He said, don't worry about them. They are always added. He said, blessed are those who do what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. He said, they shall be filled. Listen, if you read the context, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled with the things that they are not even running after. I don't know what I heard, what I said there. When I was a much younger person, I used to read as, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled with righteousness. No, it didn't say so. He said, listen, don't worry yourself about the car you shall drive, the food you shall eat, the houses you will live in, the wives you will marry. He said, just hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those things come automatically. That is, they must never be the focus of your work. What am I discussing? We want to be like God. Amen? That's the desire. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the end of it. That's the beginning of it. There's nothing more added to it. If anything is added, then we'll just receive it with thanksgiving. Are you getting my point? We don't delight because, you know, when my business failed, I began to delight. And once I began to delight, I began to prosper. Was the man lying? No. But those who are listening to him, they have missed it. So they changed their delight now to the method of prospering. The man did not delight because of prosperity. He delighted because his failure taught him that those things are of the flesh. And when he got his heart attached to the thing that is real, God was not able to add other things to him. Once you make what you are going to get the aim of what you are doing, you get nothing. That's the meaning of godliness with contentment. But like I said, my focus is trying to bring the hearts of believers back to the reason why we go to church, to the reason why we walk with God, is for the purpose of knowing him and becoming exactly like him. And what I'm saying to us today, that it must be our delight to know him. Paul said that, what I wanted, I counted all of this is but dung, so that I might know him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's what we are talking about. Listen, every experience of your life, let me say it like this before I make that statement. You wouldn't feel bad about many things in life if you understood that every experience of your life has the potential to draw you closer to the knowledge of God. Listen, where were you? The people giving out the jobs came today. Each contract is 16 million. Nobody who does that contract, all right, will make less than 2 million. And I'm talking about just, you know, where did you go? And some people start regretting. Are you getting my point? They start regretting. When those things that will happen to me those days, I say, listen, there's no blessing of mine that can go anywhere. If I miss that one, it's because it was not mine. Do you get my point? In every experience, I discover a revelation of God. And like I said, I've heard it said that truth, all right, cannot be imbibed in its living power until the soul needs it. That is, you can hear a lot of things, doctrine. Are you getting my point? But the day you understand the power in it is when your life requires it. I remember once, I kept my things in a car, a friend's car, many years ago. That's how I learned that doctrine. And a thief broke into the car and took my bag away. And I remember what stuck in my head. Of course, they're like, let us pray. You know, what stuck in my head was, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. All flesh is grass. Those are the things that stuck in my head. Are you getting my point? Why? Because suddenly I got to a point. I had been reading that scripture long before then. But when I suffered the material loss, almost, you know, it was striking. There's a reason why it was quite striking. And I just relaxed that no, all flesh is grass, and the goodness thereof are like the flowers of the field. It's material things, forget it. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said something the other day that they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And there's a lot of blindness in our lives. Everybody has one. You were born with it. You can sit there and say, why me, why me, why me? How come the whole society, I'm the only one born blind? Listen, God said, listen. If you walk with me, you will discover the God that makes blind men see. Do you follow my point? So much that you become thankful for the experience of blindness. I don't think after that man was healed, he will sit down and be grumbling about all the years that he was blind. The man, if it's today's America, you know, United States of America, he will sign a book deal on the spot. They will pay him $2 million ahead. The title will be The Man That Was Born Blind. They spend the first 5 chapters describing how he was groping in darkness. They will paint a beautiful picture of how the woman discovered that his son or her son was born, was actually blind. The man will have, because in the days of Jesus, the man became an instant celebrity. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, more people came to see Lazarus than came to see Jesus at the point in time. They say, where is he? He said, that's the Jesus. He said, no, where's the man he raised from the dead? He said, okay, that's the other guy. What am I saying? Every experience in your life has the potential to reveal to you the knowledge of God. After Job suffered, at the end of the day, he said, before now, I heard of you with the hearing of my ears. He said, but after now, I can see you clearly. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? What am I saying? If our delight is in the law of the Lord, if our delight is in the knowledge of God, we react to things differently. And that's what Christian delight must be. is I want to know God better. I want to understand the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was explaining. I want to participate in that power that is called the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to know it. Do you follow the point I'm making? That must be the quest of the hearts of Christians. It is not about going to church and getting promoted. You will be amazed. There are people that dream in life is the day they will become assistant pastor. And then they give them their own branch to go and become CEO or executive director over. It's a dream. If they call meeting at 5 a.m., he's there. The general overseer or the bishop or whoever in charge of that district thinks this guy is very diligent. The guy has a plan. I know the way you promote people, and that's the way I'm going to follow. A man told me once, he saw the work I was doing, saw my books, ministry, CDs, and all of that. Said, even at their church, there are people like me, to promote is very simple. That this one that I'm gifted, so I just come to church. Said, this is your car now, just give it as an offering. Said, then they will notice you. Said, then you start moving towards the front. And the next time you come, instead of sitting at the back, somebody takes you to the front. Say, just come. Say, God spoke to you. Just drop a check. Say, very soon, you are promoted. You join the league of the boys. You know what I'm saying? Who are really, really enjoying. Do you know people? Oh, God, it's annoying. It's sad. But it happens. There are people who are laboring. Their delight is in human promotion. Their delight is title, pastor. So they can put it boldly on their car. Pastor. The delight is not in the law of the Lord. The delight is eye service that I might be promoted. If they say in this church you cannot be a pastor except you can quote half of the New Testament of it, the guy has gone to school to start. Wake up every morning, he's playing Bible on CD, Bible on tape, Bible on video, Bible on iPod, Bible on MP3 player. But you think he loves God? No! He wants to be promoted. He will never give any offering as cash. They must be able to trace it to him. It must be a check. Why? Why? His delight is in promotion. And you wonder, people say after all these years, God has not yet blessed this man. Why? Because he wasn't delighting in the law of the Lord. Anytime I'm preaching like this, I don't like people start looking and say, okay, hey, I always knew that brother in church. All that, his dedication is fake. I'm not talking to that brother about him. I am talking about you listening to me. What exactly is your delight? That's what I'm talking about. Because like I've been saying, God changes you not by laying on of hands. The most anointed preacher in town can lay hands on your head until all the hair there will disappear. You suddenly grow bald. It does not bring divine character into your soul. You can pray from now with a 40-day fast till until next month. It does not bring godly character into your soul. What brings godly character into you is the knowledge of God that you discover. The more you see and understand him, the more you are transformed into his image. He said, when we behold, Paul was explaining with an unveiled face, he said, we are changed from one level of glory unto another. It's as we behold. And listen, until God sees... You see, one thing I've noticed about the Lord, after studying the scriptures and worked with him for a while, is that if it's not important to you, he doesn't give it to you. I don't know what I got to say. You first have to show to him it is important. God will put you in situations where it will be demonstrably clear to you which one is important. The knowledge of God or the approval of men. Many times people have spoken with me, they will hear me speak. You know, I'm very careful that I'm not an entertainer. But sometimes you can't help it as a preacher. People enjoy you. People come and say, oh, we're so blessed, we're so blessed. Ah, which church do you pastor? I say, I don't pastor a church. Eh, you don't preach? I say, no, I preach every Saturday evening. Since Saturday evening, I'm usually very busy. See? People have told me, go and start a church so that it would be convenient for them to come on Sunday. The point I'm making is that what exactly you delight in is what God is checking. That's what determines how he releases virtue towards you. I hope you've gotten my point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.